Lord, you see what happens when Ray Charles teams up with Poncho Sanchez with Marianne. That's what happens. You get just plain craziness happening. That was from Sanchez's 2003 album, Out of Sight, of course. It's an old song, but it's always good to hear it. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. This is where, if you're joining us for the first time, we dispense with the regular agenda of the program, and it becomes an open forum. And in an open forum setting, you can speak about whatever it is you want to talk about, expressing, hopefully, a pointed view on a subject matter that is important to you. So you have a chance to just express yourself. Of course, you know, you're not going to go crazy and say things that would cause people to riot, but it is a chance for you to express opinions and views that couldn't be accommodated during the week, or that kind of is very personal to you. So you have a chance to say it the way you want to say it, and then, of course, have people react. All right, let's get started at 888-874-4888. That number again, 888-874-4888. Any takers? Any takers at all? Don't be shy. This is what this is. All right. We have somebody. Gladys from Baltimore, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, you, Trish.
And thank Hello,
you
for, Gladys.
Can you hear me, dear?
Yes, I can
okay.
hear you.
Okay. Thank you for taking my phone call. I'll make this as short as I can. This article is personal to me because I'm involved in riding the bus. The MTA, Maryland Transit Administration Company, and MARC, M-A-R-C, service reductions next year. Maryland Transit Administration proposes plans Tuesday to slash its bus service in Baltimore region next year by 20%, eliminating 25 bus lines and reducing service on 12 others. The MARC train and commission bus service, in an effort to will be cut also. The proposal would discontinue all 9 express bus lines. The financial impact created by the COVID-19 crisis has created an unparalleled challenge for transit agencies across the U.S. I'm reporting this news because I don't know whether other nations or countries here are going to be affected the same way. And I was not too surprised about this notice because I ride the bus, and it seems like 60% of the passengers now don't ride the bus. The MTA wants to cut $150 million from its 6-year capital budget by deferring equipment replacement.
Hold on.
Sure. This decision will disproportionately impact our poor black and brown residents. Go ahead.
Say what you want to say.
What does this do to your life? And how soon is this going to be enacted?
January 3rd, I believe, 2021. Yes.
And so far, what is the reaction? How are people proposing to counter this move?
I have no idea, but on Wednesday evening on a radio talk show, the reaction was heavy by men and women who resent this move. They resent it.
They just made this announcement that this is what's going to happen, and it's up to you to figure out the solution. They don't have a solution?
I don't see any in the paper that was printed Wednesday.
Wow.
This is going to be in effect.
Well, surely there would be some kind of local reaction. They just can't announce a move like that affects so many people. I would imagine hearings will have to be held. I would imagine that the political representation for these particular communities that will be affected adversely, more so than any other, that there would be some kind of reaction. And since this is supposed to happen in January, I imagine that immediately there should be some reaction at the local level.
I don't see or haven't read anything in reference to this article that I read to you. And I didn't want to get upset today, but it seems like it's bothering me. And I do ride the buses and the trains. And, you know, I just take them as normal things, but not according to this article. This is rough. And it tells people, in a way, you better save your money. Any money you make, you better save it for hard times to come.
There's no question that there are hard times to come. The other part of the question is, what are people prepared to do about
it? I don't know.
It doesn't mean simply because they announce it that it will be so.
Yes. I don't know what they're going to do. And for myself, I just ride the buses. I have to walk to the bus stops. They're going to make those hard, too. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. That's all I have to say, Nutrish.
Well, thank you very much. I hope, I really, truly hope that at least we begin to see some reaction quickly, because this can't, I mean, it just can't be that way without some kind of reaction. There's got to be a reason that people feel so confident that they could just make an announcement and then, you know, life goes accordingly. But until people make it known that this will not stand, I would not give up hope that this is where things will be. There's no way to change it, at least not at this point. They've made an announcement, fine. Now let's see what the reaction is. And then we can begin to figure out whether there is a chance of the people prevailing against this plan. Thanks for calling in, and keep us posted. Keep us posted. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. We are using this time, as you know, this is Free Your Mind Friday. This is where we have we open up the phone lines and we open up the program to differing points of view, and so that you can express your view that may not have been accommodated during the rest of the week. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Patrice, and to your listening audience here. what your last caller is talking about is coming to New York too. Right now, they're talking and they're waiting to see what's going to happen with the election. If Trump get back in, there's going to be serious problems in regards to funding the MTA. So they're hoping that Biden gets in so that they feel more comfortable in getting funding for the MTA. Now, in regards to New York State, the tax revenue is down like never before, and the governor, Cuomo, does not want to tax the rich. New York City is just heading for catastrophe. I think it's heading for the way that it was at its lowest point, I think, when Abe Beame was the mayor. So that was way, way back, I think, in the 70s. It's just a disaster is going to be at play if Trump gets back into office, because the relationship that the governor and the mayor have with Trump and the petty nature of Trump and the manner in which he does things, it's just going to be a catastrophe for New York. And the thing
Let us go beyond predicting catastrophe. Everybody's predicting catastrophe. What, and from an analytical point of view, what do you see the issues as being? What are the issues? Other than the government intends to cause the fares to go up. And now what?
The issue is basically the lack of economic resources. And the governor's unwilling to spread the wealth in regards to taxing those that have the resources. And the most challenging thing is the lack of organizing of the people who are going to suffer the most from this catastrophe that's about to be put into play. It's just like I've been saying for the last couple of weeks. In order to get Biden into office, you have to organize the poor, the disadvantaged, and those that have the most to gain by putting Biden in office, something that the DNC just doesn't do.
We're not talking about the parties at the moment. We're talking about the fact that...
The fact is you got to organize people, Eutrice. You got to
Hold on. Don't lose your cool here. We're just learning that this is in motion, that there is an intention, because of course the government will have only one way to explain it, and that is there's going to be a massive shortfall, which means there have to be cutbacks and there have to be alternative plans. In the middle of all of that, where is the situation now with respect to the people who are likely to be most affected? What do you see developing, if anything? Are you there?
You were saying?
What do you see, even now, at the earliest stages, what do you see developing in terms of reaction?
No reaction whatsoever. No reaction. Lack of organizing. People not understanding what's involved, what's at stake. Just a lack of understanding of what's going on. People are not aware of how these things are interfering with their lives. It's like the average person is oblivious to it. The average everyday working person does not understand that they are facing these type of crises. I don't know if they just don't care. I don't know if they are not aware. I don't know if nobody's informing them. I just don't know. I mean, it's like they're oblivious to it. They don't read the paper. They don't listen to people, you know, like Ali and Patricia that be out here trying to educate them. I mean, they just don't do the necessary things to awaken that tragedy is coming to not only to them, their kids, and their surroundings. I mean, I don't know. I try to talk to people. They don't understand what's being said to them. They really don't care. I mean, they're just trying, I guess, to survive, Utrice. And the sad thing is, all of this is, when you are unaware of what your circumstances are and what you're facing in a society that really doesn't care about you, you're totally lost. So, I mean, all I could do is just say, well, be observant of this. Look at this. Like the previous caller said, save your money. Read the paper and all of this. I mean, when you listen to your last caller and you listen to the pain and you listen how her life is going to be affected, think about this. Not only her life, but other people around her life is going to be affected. It does something to you because I'm assuming that she's not a young woman. I'm assuming that she's worked her whole life. She, you know, she's trying to make the best that she can, but just look at the tragedy that's facing her and that there's nobody there to protect her. There's nobody there to help her. Government isn't trying to do anything to assist her. And, you know, you just caught up in a quagmire because you can't bring together the necessary people to, like you always say, go and fight. Because people just ain't going to go and fight. They just going to take it. And that's,
well, don't
that's
forget,
the tragedy.
Don't forget, I don't want you to lose hope. You know.
No, you don't lose hope. You don't lose hope, Utrice. But you have to become a realist of what you're dealing with. And you have to figure out how you're going to survive. I care about the woman that just
fell. Hold a minute. You're going on at 800 miles an hour. All I'm trying to communicate is this is the most recent development, which means at the very minimum, there should be some kind of time in which people can organize and react. It isn't a done deal. It is announced, and that's the intention, but that does not have to be the final result. Now that it is announced, it is now up to people to decide what they're going to do about it. But as you said, you don't see much of a sign.
You tease. That's where you make the mistake at. This is where you always make the one mistake that I disagree with you is. When it's announced, it's a done deal. When
okay,
it's announced,
I'm saying,
it's a done deal.
What do you want to happen? It is not going to be an ideal situation. It's just been announced. So technically you could say it is now an official plan in terms of what the city intends to do. That's all I'm saying.
To organize, to try to figure out how it doesn't get any worse from the implementation of it. To be at that point to stop what is already the inevitable and to not let them be able to move forward. You know what I mean?
Right.
And to hopefully be able to change some of it or cut some of it if possible, but to be able to put a stop on it. That's all I could wish for at this time.
Of course.
And for us to organize and move forward. Have a good weekend, my love.
Thank you very much. That's the whole point. It doesn't help when just at the mere announcement of something, people start freaking out. And yet it is understandable because things are very rough and they're going to get even rougher. So, and you can't trust the government either. So there has to be some kind of space where you take in the full effect of what is being proposed and you begin to organize and you begin to react. But you just can't start flipping out because an announcement is made. That does not help. What you do is you say, okay, do I understand the full dimension of this problem, the full intention, and who else out there understands it? Who is doing anything that I can assist with and help with in my own interest, of course, but in the interest of the broader community, because this now involves hundreds and thousands of people. So I'm just trying to say, do not just react as the flip side of something that is already atrocious. Don't make it even more so by just reacting. That's not a good thing. It is important to see for yourself how much of this thing do you understand, how much of it is real, and some of the facts associated with it, who is beginning to organize, and who needs to be contacted, which political leaders are there that are working on this, and which buttons need to be pressed. You have a lot of work to do. You can't afford to just react. That is fatal. You have to be methodical in this time, especially when a situation is calibrated to throw you completely off guard. You have to have some kind of stability. You're on the air at 888-874-4888. It is Free Your Mind Friday on this wonderful station, TRN. What have you to say? Duke from New Jersey, what have you to say?
Hey, Utrice, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. So everything I had planned to say just went out of the window. Because when your first caller called in, the elder from Maryland, it just took everything out of my mind. And I just, you know, I could feel for her. I could feel for her. And then Jay followed up, you know, I agree with everything that Jay said. Because I could tell he's just the average brother on the ground. But I'm going to say this, Utrice. Okay, first thing I want to say, I want to put this out there. I was listening to PRN one day last week. I was listening to the Ralph Nader show. And Ralph Nader said that he was interviewing somebody, and he said to the guy he had reached out to AOC, and he couldn't get in touch with her. Right? He tried to reach her office.
Hold on. You said AOC as if everybody knows what that is.
The representative from New York, Cortez.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Ocasio-Cortez, correct. Okay? And she is supposedly way on the left side of the political scale and very progressive. However, if you don't respond to Ralph Nader. Now, I'm just putting that out there because we don't know the ins and outs of that situation. So I'm just saying that just said to me, like, You know, there's so many talking heads out here. Like, I don't trust none of these people, Utrice. But that's not why I called. Okay, now I want to get back to the elder who called. And your response to Jay was, okay, so now what are the people supposed to do? They made this announcement. What are the people supposed to do? And the only thing that the people can do, Utrice, is go out on the streets and protest. After protesting, they can somehow organize. But they can organize to get some of their local politicians to push back on this, right? But this is where we at. At the end of the day, there is no money. So you could push back all you want. All of these Democratic cities that are all of these cities that are run by Democrats, they are not going to have any money to do anything. This is just the tip of the iceberg that's about to come. Because there is no question Donald Trump will be reelected. I hate to say it. There's no question, and he may be reelected with a landslide. So instead of us talking about just talk, like yesterday, you know, I listened to you for 40 minutes talking about what an idiot this man is. Yes, we know this man is an idiot. But this idiot, who never even read a book in his life, took himself from being a real estate developer in New York to being the president of the United States. Just his will got him to that position. So this is an opposition that we got to take serious. We can't just keep calling him out as being crazy. He's crazy like a fox. So my answer to all of this, so knowing that Biden has no chance to win, what do we do? We have to organize our communities locally. And it's nothing new. It's the same thing that Malcolm has told us, Claude Anderson. I mean, you name the people. It's not a new prescription. It's the same prescription. We need the gatekeepers of the community to organize. Because the average person has no real power, Utrice. All the average person can do is go out on the street and protest and vote. That's the only thing they can do. But that doesn't solve anything. It's about economics. And the only way we get the power of our economics to work is when the gatekeepers in the black community sit down together and come up with a plan and present it to the masses. And who are the gatekeepers? I'm talking about your media people, your journalists, your politicians, your entertainers, your businessmen. We have so much resources in the black community. And
yes,
I'm not just talking about black-skinned people. You got the Latin community. They are our allies. You have the sympathetic white community. They are our allies. All of these problems that we face.
All of what you're saying is, you know, it's not new. We've heard these.
That's why I'm banging my head. It's not new.
Not solve anything. Here's the thing.
I'm sorry?
Banging your head is not going to solve anything.
No. Listen, I'm not banging my head. What do I do? Okay, I have a small network of people that I connect to, all right? So what do I do? I go out and try to help elders like the lady who first called. In my building, I'll try to do something to help that lady. That's what I'll do. What else would I do? I'll call into Utrice Lee's program and try to put the word out there so people can understand how I'm thinking and maybe they will rethink how they think. It's about economics.
Well,
I mean, even you said
you
treat.
Hold on a second. Let me just get a word in edgewise. it is at times like these that we recognize how we have failed and continue to fail at what should be a number one priority, which is eternal vigilance in behalf of our communities. We wait for a crisis to develop, and it does develop, and to the point most often that we are not prepared to counter. We're not prepared to do anything about it. We're prepared only to react, and reaction is not enough. We could react, so we have to get out of that mode completely. Well,
I'm only calling into your program. You're one of the few people that I still listen to. Okay, I'm not reacting. I don't go out on the street and protest for Black Lives Matter and all of that. I'm way beyond that. I'm almost 60
years old.
And yet,
there's nothing wrong with that. All I'm saying is, we have to calm down a bit and take a sober look at what the problem is. Or what the problems are.
The problems
and then,
are not new, Patrice. It's the same problem.
That's not the question I'm asking, whether it's new or not.
Well, what's the question?
Death has been going on for millions of years.
Okay, so what is the question?
So the issue is, what are we prepared to do, and what can we do successfully in whatever time that we have to do it in?
Okay, can I give you an answer, and then I'll get off so other people can call? You just said, what can we do? And I'm telling you very clearly, this is what
we can do.
No,
I said, what are we prepared to do?
I'm going to answer. Okay, what are we prepared? And I'm telling you now, I'm on the ground level. The average person is prepared to go out into the street and protest and beg for some kind of attention.
You don't know that.
What they should be doing.
But you don't know that.
You're not letting me finish, Utrecht. Let me finish my thoughts so other people can call in, because I don't want to hog up the time. What we should be doing, instead of going out on the street and protesting Black Lives Matter, we should be going out in the street and putting the pressure on the gatekeepers of our community, okay? Just as an example, the entertainer Ice Cube recently came up with this concept that he's pushing called a contract with America. Okay, good idea. Where will that go? It's going to go nowhere. And you know why? Because the people that he has connections to, the gatekeepers in the Black community, don't really want to see things change. Now, I'm going to end with this. If we just take Chicago as an example, okay, and I hope Harvey, who usually calls in from Chicago, responds to this. If you take Chicago, Chicago was the home of Michael Jordan, Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah, but don't make plans for other people's lives. I really, really dislike that. You are living your life. Talk about what you can do. Don't talk about what these people should be doing and what they ought to do.
That's why, you know what, you treat, and that's why we get nowhere. What can I do? I do what I can do. I help that elderly lady who first called in when I can. I call into programs like you. I don't have a big network like you have. I can't reach out and get somebody like, who did you have on the show last week? You had the professor,
Gerald Horn.
I'm drawing a blank. Yeah, you had Gerald Horn on. I can't reach out and get Gerald Horn to do an interview on my YouTube channel.
We are now several layers deeper than where we need to be. We're just starting this conversation.
You got to rely on the people who have networks to organize.
No. That is the myth.
Okay, okay, Utrice. I'll let somebody else call. You have a good weekend, because we're going in circles. That's why. That's
no, we're
why
not we're going anywhere. We're not even going in circles.
You,
we're not going
you don't
anywhere.
Want to you don't want to put pressure on the gatekeepers. So you just basically
how
want
do you know what I want when I haven't said it? How do you know what I want? How do you know what my thinking is when I haven't even been able to express it?
Because you always say, what are the people going to do? What are the people going to do? When you know full well the people have limited power. All they can do is revolt on the street.
When you ask a question about what are the people going to do, there are certain prerequisites here. The assumption is that you are accustomed to doing something. You don't wait for a major development to find out what you're going to do or what you can do. Many communities have an entirely different reaction there. They continue all through the year. They have plans. They do things.
You know
why
those other people do things? Because the leaders in their community set up the mechanisms for them to do things. The leaders
in
their community.
People of the community are educated about who a leader is. And the leader is everybody. Everybody.
No, that's wrong. That's a myth. That is a myth.
If you pick up garbage from the sidewalk, you are exercising leadership.
You trees.
But we don't.
You shouldn't put that out there on the airwaves. That's an absolute myth. A leader is somebody like, for example, Ice Cube, who can get on the front of a camera.
I am not. Here's my very definition of a leader. My absolute definition of leaders: my mother, my father. End of story. They did not go to leadership school, and they held no public post. And they were absolutely leaders in our community. We are confused. We are confused. I don't care what level you're talking about. In any event, it comes down to the micro level. The leadership of one. We keep always assigning people, you should be the leader, you should be the leader. No, you are the leader. So lead in whatever way you can. Because we have to get out. We have to understand. We are an oppressed people. And that means that for centuries, our thinking has been warped. Our minds have been damaged. Our viewpoint has been distorted.
I agree with all of that, Utrice.
Let us at least agree on this. You can't come up with magic formulas. There are no magic formulas. The only magic formula is roll up your sleeves and you do what you can and you see to it that you follow through. That's all you are required if you really wish to exercise leadership. That's what you do.
I know. Man, that's got us nowhere. That's like moving at a snail's pace.
I am very, very sorry, but I disagree with that totally.
All right. Utrice.
Totally disagree with that because I have seen it happen. I have myself been involved in actions. Nobody asked me to do it. I had no money to go and do it, but I did it. Nobody told me you can start a program to educate people about journalism and how to be a journalist. Nobody did that. But it was a need. I saw it. I did it.
Yeah, but Utrice, you're Okay, listen, I'm going to do like Ed said. I'm going to vote for Biden and hope for the best. But I already know where this is going.
But that is not the answer. The answer is, as you know, if you appreciate our unique history, we have unique problems. There is no pat answer for practically anything. You have to, with a sincere heart, give yourself to helping. Genuinely help him. And
okay, well, I mean, I try to do that. And I think most people in our community try to do that.
No, they don't. Most people in our community don't try. I am telling you that. They think it's too hard. It's too inconvenient. It will take their time away from doing the things they want to do.
When you see thousands of people protesting out on the street and painting Black Lives Matter in front of Trump building, you can't say that people don't get involved.
There are some people who may be called to do that, but that is not enough.
Okay.
It is not enough.
Okay.
You have to have a plan. You have to have people who are committed. Over the long haul. This is not a short court business. This is your life. I can't tell you how difficult it was and still is to get people. The only thing I wanted was get a broom and show up at such and such a place on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. We're going to clean this block. I couldn't get people to do that.
Okay, in your particular case, let's say that's correct. So that says more about us than it does about Donald Trump.
I don't care what it says about whom. You're living on the block. Your children are on the block. Your elderly people are on the block. Your homeowners are on the block. And you don't want to show up with just a broom to devote a couple of minutes to cleaning it up. You deserve what happens to you.
I agree.
You deserve it. So I say to you, we have to get real about what our experience has been and continues to be. There are people who don't want to do the work. Period.
Okay.
That is for somebody else to do. They have other things to do. They have to go shopping.
Now, people want to follow. Utrice, you got to realize the majority of people are sheep, and they want
I do not think that. That is insulting. The majority of people are not sheep. No, it's not the fact. People are not sheep.
Let me say this. I'm not saying the majority of black people. I'm saying the majority of people, period, on planet Earth, they are sheep, and they...
And I don't know where you get the authority to say that.
Because
I don't know
just
what studies
out at the, look
have
out
produced
at...
that. No. You can't have it both ways. You're talking off the top of your head. You're not talking from a scientific basis at all. And that's what we need. We need science.
We gotta let other people get in. I love you.
Yeah,
and there's nothing you can do about it. And I don't know what else to say.
All right.
That's
well, thanks
it.
For calling
Enjoy
in.
Your-
Thank you. 888-874-4888. We have to deal with each other honestly and directly. Don't cloak anything. This is what we are literally experiencing. So don't hide it behind, you know, a nice-looking curtain. No, these are the realities. A lot of people in the community who are doing the work are, in fact, overworked. They are exploited. Nobody does anything. They wait and see, you know, they watch. somebody work himself or herself to death. Francis from Connecticut, you're on the air.
Hi, Latrice. When I first heard that the First Lady came on, because I wasn't going to call in, but she just struck a nerve with me the way that she was like, well, I read this article, and, you know, I guess we're just going to have to accept, you know, what they're doing. And I'm just, like, frustrated because people have to understand, you just can't sit back and just let these companies, whatever, do whatever they want to do. In my area, in the city I'm in, this is a Democratic city, and I'm blind, so I wouldn't be out here, you know, with the Black Lives Matter, which I don't have any problem with that. That's what they're doing. That's good as long as it's not, you know, any kind of extreme violence or whatever. But I'm doing what I can. Now, the last 2 years, as I was telling you, I called in, I guess, a few months ago. I was frustrated with what's going on at the federal level, so I'm thinking I'm going to get involved with what's going on at the local level. And what I have been doing for the last 2 years is going to all of the board of rep meetings, all the committee meetings I could go to before COVID, and then I've been on the Zoom meetings. I can tell you, if that happened here in my city, and I read our audio article saying that they're going to cut routes and do this and that, I can tell you right now, depending on what time of day it was, I would be on the phone to my district reps. I got this article. Do you know about this? Something needs to be done about this. We need to have a public hearing. I demand that we get this put on, you know, an agenda so it can be brought before the board of reps. I would have also been calling the chairman of the Transportation Committee and also the Public Safety Committee, demanding that this be put in for a public hearing. And I realize now, over the last 2 years, I have developed a group of people that I'm connected with, and we would be up in arms. There's no way that we would allow that company, who's probably getting some public funding, federal and state, city too, probably. No way we just sit back and just let them just, oh yeah, we announced we're going to do this and that, and we don't have any say so, and we're the ridership for that company. There's no way that would happen. So, it's like you said, you can't sit back. You have to set example. Now, would I like to see more people involved with the city of government and coming out to the meetings and so on, or being on the Zoom meetings? But someone has to do it. I mean, there's no way that company would just be sitting there just saying that. Not here. I mean, I definitely do what I could. And I don't know how her setup is here.
You're right on the money. You're right on it.
I think it's when you do that kind of thing, you don't feel bad.
They don't want to do it.
Back and saying we can't do anything, or they're waiting for a celebrity. I like Ice Cube, you know, but that ain't going to help in her particular situation. I mean, it's not just her. I'm sure that there's a whole bunch of other people who are trying to get back and forth to work. They were younger. They're being, you know, I'm not a religious person, so I don't go to church. But you have to look to your, you know, ask your pastor, find out, because they got connections, you know, with city she's in or whatever. It's like you got to come together. You got to demand that there's a public hearing, and that you're just not going to sit back and let them just do whatever they think they're going to do. It's really that simple.
Most of all, it requires some time to study. You have to study.
Yes.
What the situation is that you're in.
Yes.
What are the possible ways that you could affect the outcome? But you have to study what you're doing.
Exactly that, because I've been, I listen to you every day. I also been, you know, reading books, and, you know, and Gerald Horn, I finally got audio books from him. So I'm reading that. I just finished reading a book called The Color of Law by Richard Ratledge, which explains the whole history of how this whole country was segregated, you know, through housing, because housing is like my main thing that got me involved with the city government in the first place. And you start from there, you start, you know, talking to people, and you start expanding out. And I think a lot of people, if, you know, Now, at this point, something like this where you have a certain issue and it's going to affect a lot of people, I would go around my building and be like, okay, now it's going to be a public hearing. You need to come to the public hearing. This is concerning, you know, blah, 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 whatever. And you get people out there. You have to do what you can. I'm blind, so I can get out there and march with, you know, Black Lives Matter, because I couldn't have watched out for myself. I'd probably be, I would best, would probably be, kind of hold people back. So I don't do that. But I do what I can. And you have to continue. I've been going to these meetings, everything starting in December of 2018. You've got to go to all the meetings you can go to. You've got to put those hours in there. And it's a continuous, ongoing thing. Not like I'm going to do this. And like this issue would come up about the, let's say, the buses and everything. Get that resolved some kind of way. Find out what can be done. You don't just stop there. Now, what's the other issue? Because there's a lot of issues out here. You just keep going on. You got going on. You can't sit back and be like, oh, well, you know, what can we do? You know, we're just going to have to, like, well, you know, it's going to happen, whatever. You just you got to be doing something.
You
either that or die.
Well, that is true. You know, I always talk about the essence of community work is community work. You've got to get out into the community. You've got to work. It is not something that is done by, you know, just talking on the radio. That doesn't get it done. You have to be a living, breathing example of what it means to do community work. It is important.
Right, especially for, you know, especially for Black and brown people. You know, we can't, because, I mean, I grew up, my mother was not, you know, she was a hard worker and all that, but, you know, she never taught me anything about, you know, going to the government, doing this kind of stuff. I've just learned that over the years, and now that I'm retired on disability, it's like, now I'm going to get out here and I'm going to do something that, you know, I wasn't taught, and just learn how the city government runs, you know, who's in what position, you know, this and that, phone numbers, and, you know, you'd be surprised getting a phone call from you saying, you know, you see me at the meetings and I'm calling you about such and such issue, you know, I want to know what's going to be done, whatever. You'd be surprised the kind of response you get.
Absolutely. Because they then become aware that they're being watched.
That people are being watched.
They're being
monitored.
That's
right. That's right.
And they don't want to have the responsibility of accepting blame for something that they
Oh, definitely
done.
Not. Definitely not. And they want to get they want to get voted back in too. So I don't know. Just very frustrating to hear people being like, "Well, what can we do? What can we do?" It's like, that's what you got to do.
We could stop asking the question, what can we do, and get to doing it.
Exactly, because talk is cheap.
It is.
Well, I thank you. Hopefully, you know, if you see what get out there with some of the younger people, whether it's through the church, you know, find out what you got to do for the government, and just don't let them just be like, oh, yeah, we're just going to raise the rates and cut the routes and stuff like that. Because that's going to make it harder for, I'm sure, a lot of those people trying to get back and forth to work. Because those are, you know, poor people in the lower-paying jobs, the ones that usually are, you know, going to have to take the bus. They don't have cars. They can't afford, you know, the, you know, insurance and, you know, whatever, you know. So, yeah, they're going to have to do something. I hope they don't sit there and just be like, well, you know, whatever. I'm hoping they're going to get out there and start contacting people in the government and try to get a public hearing and try to see what they can do. Because, I'm telling you, because every place, they always say they don't have money. Every place says that, especially now. I mean, I went through and listened through, I went to all the meetings before the COVID where it was like the start of the budget committee, budget meetings in March. Then it went online, you know, and it's been wholly horrendous, and they had to do a lot of cutting. But you got to fight for, you know, your portion. Otherwise, be like, oh, well, no one said anything over there. They must be okay with it. And you tell them, you better find some kind of money or do something. Are you going to get everything you want? No, but you got to, you know, some compromise or something. But if you don't fight for some money that is hidden somewhere, usually, or they'll find money somewhere, if you fight hard enough and it's a big enough issue.
Thank you. That is some serious teaching right there.
I hope so.
I'm
glad I could say something. All right, so.
Thank you so much for calling in today. That brings us to the end of our program today. You can tell that the issue of community organizing and community work, it's a very tough issue. And it isn't solved, and things don't get done by people just talking. You got to do, as I say, you have to walk the walk the same way you talk the talk. We have to get better at this because it is what will protect our lives and our livelihoods. We have to do that. Thanks so much. Have yourselves a great weekend. Surround yourselves with people who bring positive dimension to your lives. And we'll see each other Monday. Bye-bye.